Oh,
wonderful.
I appreciate the effort in actually setting
up. Let's call the people here. Okay, let's get started, shall we? All right, so we didn't learn Parshas Miketz. How can we learn Parshas Vayigash if we didn't learn Parshas Miketz? So we have to do a little Miketz and we'll do a little Vayigash. Are we ready? What's the big question about the beginning of Parshas Miketz? The big question is, Paro has this dream. We need it to be interpreted. They bring in this Yosef. He has a great interpretation. Then what? Ooh. And you know, Paro, you need someone who can help you with this. Someone smart. Someone you may have recently met who was in prison. Let's deal with that. Where does he come off? How does he even know that there's a solution? Right? Because it says, if you look carefully, that the seven fat cows are swallowed by the seven thin cows, and they still look skinny, right? What does it mean? What's the significance of that, said Yosef? That the years of famine will cause the years of plenty to be forgotten. So that's the dream, no? Done. So I think the answer is very simple and very important. Are we ready for the simple, important answer? Parshas Vayeshev is a parsha framed by stories about two dreams. Who had two dreams in the beginning of Vayeshev? Who had two dreams in the end of Vayeshev? Esarim, right? Parshas Miketz continues where Parshas Vayeshev left off, with another two dreams. Who had two dreams? What's interesting is to see how these dreams connect back to the other dreams, and I'll explain what I mean. Paro has two dreams. One is about cows. The other is about wheat. Why does he have two dreams? What does Yosef say about why he has two dreams?
Yosef,
how about that?
He says that it's like sealed. It's gonna. It's
bouncing. It doesn't say sealed, but he says. Can he hear louder?
To show how?
No, it's not what he says.
To show how much Hashem wants to do it, or
how quickly it's going to happen. Let's look inside. Pasuk Lamed Bet. Perik Mamal Pasuk Lamed Bet. Va'al hi shano tachalom el paro. The fact that you had two dreams. Pa'amayim. Ki nachon hadavar mim lokim u'meir lim la'asoto. Right. Someone who said it's signed, maybe signed, sealed, the Nachon part, right? But in my hero, Kim Lasato, definite and coming quick. That still leaves a question. If the purpose of it being twice is to show that it's happening fast, so why not have the same dream twice? Why two different dreams? Well, what would we look for methodologically if we were trying to answer this question?
Similar symbols.
The differences. What's the difference between the dreams? And I think the point we just mentioned is exactly the difference. It says by the fat cows that when the skinny cows swallowed the fat cows, as we mentioned, what does it say? Pasuk Chav Aleph. Batavone el kirbena. They swallowed them. Velo nodaki vo el kirbena. You couldn't tell. Marein rak asher batchila. They looked as bad as they did initially. When you look by the wheat, Pasuk Chav Bet, it says, I saw wheat, right? Wimpy wheat, fat wheat. The fat wheat was swallowed by the wimpy wheat, but what doesn't it say? What might that tell you? The two dreams represent two different options. One option is the years of fat of plenty will be forgotten. The other option is they could be used to offset. What would the second dream tell you as to how you would offset? If the wheat of the fat years is used to be consumed by the wheat of the skinny years, it might offset. Wheat being the key, right? So you see from here that the way through it is wheat conservation. Now, here comes the kicker. You ready, Appel? Who might be the best person to deal with wheat issues?
That dreamed about wheat.
A person who dreamed about wheat sheaths, looking towards his wheat sheath. Who might that have been?
Yosef.
Yosef should have been the first person whose picture appeared on a box of Wheaties. That's the bottom of the story. Bottom line, right? Now, the greatness of Yosef is the ability, 20 years later, to still remember his dream, right? To realize this is it. This is the moment. Parshas Miketz, to a large extent, is a parsha that's about consciousness. Who else is conscious of the past and the present in Parshas Miketz? We don't see it, but I'm sure he is. What?
The
butler? Okay, who's more conscious? What? What? The brothers. How are the brothers conscious? Well, let's take a look. It says, when Yosef sees his brothers, speaking of Yosef's consciousness, what does it say when he sees them? Pasuk, Perek Membez, Pasuk, Tet, Vayizkor Yosef et hachalamot asher chalam lahem. He remembers the dreams he had about them. However you explain why Yosef accuses them of being spies and why he does what he does, one thing for sure is made clear by the Pasuk is that it's because of, based upon, driven by his memory of
dreams.
We take the traditional pshat of Chazal, right? Wants to give them a chance to do tshuva, right? Okay. When the brothers are being treated harshly by this dude, Pasuk of Aleph, Vayomru ish Elochiv, Aval Ashemim Anachnu. They right away associate what's happening with them with the guiltiness for Alachinu Asher Reinu B'Tzarat Nafsho B'Tchanano Eleinu V'Lo Shamanu Al Kein Ba Eleinu Hatzara Hazot. Why is this happening to us? We were insensitive. Yosef remembered his dreams. The brothers remember the mistakes they made that maybe they hadn't processed 100% until they're experiencing this kind of insensitivity. And by the way, what do they talk about them being guilty of? Selling their brother as a slave? What do they say here, Pasuk Aleph? What? Can you hear louder? I know the Hebrew words. In English? Being insensitive. The Ramban says, you see from here, they may have seen the sin of insensitivity as worse than the sin of selling him as a slave. Whatever justification they had. But he's crying out to you. In any case, there's a lot of consciousness. There's a lot more to say about Parshas Miketz, which we would say if we were learning Parshas Miketz. But we're learning Parshas Miketz just to be Yoytze Zayin until we can learn Parshas Vayigash, right? Which is what we're going to talk about now. Yes? You tell me. Yes? One is about his family and the other is about the bigger picture, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Parshas Vayigash. Parshas Vayigash is very much a turning point in the story. Most people think about it as a climax, but more than a climax, it's a turning point. Jacob Rosenfeld asked me yesterday if it's mutter to watch Joseph in his Technicolor Dreamcoat. I asked him why it would be us. He goes, it was made by Christians. I said, like all movies. And maybe the implication is all movies are usser. Huh. Now, I think I made a mistake by telling him that it's mutter to watch it because he's not here. I didn't realize he was asking me watch the film or come to Parshas Shir. I would have told him come to Parshas Shir, you can learn a lot more. Part of the reason you learn a lot more is because for those who know Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat, the story ends when Joseph reveals himself and etc. That's not the end of the story. That's a certain climax, but a climax that's really a turning point. That's for people who only learned Miketz and didn't get to Vayigash. The Jews know that you have to read Vayigash and Vayichi also, and the continuation of the Torah. Vayigash is the climax, but also the turning point. In what way is Parshat Vayigash a turning point? Okay, that sounds like a climax to me. How is it a turning point?
It's the beginning of the
Okay, in the pure narrow sense of the word, what's the difference between everything up to this point and from this point? Yes? What's the new stage? Yes.
The entire family does
Kiddush. Yeah, I think that's a very important point. Up till the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, the whole way the story is being presented is they're going to Egypt for what?
Food.
To get food, which they're going to bring back. There it's Canaan, right? Now, somehow Yosef revealing himself leads to a change in that. Such as, I'm Yosef, isn't it great, take your food. It's, I'm Yosef, you're all coming here. Which is exactly the opposite. And the question is, how do we get from A to B? And the answer of how we get to A to B is looking at Rishon versus Sheni. More specifically, Sheni and Shlishi. Most importantly, Shlishi. Yehuda begins with this impassioned speech, right? Yosef, you're an insensitive dude. Basically saying, we told you we had this father. His kid's going to leave his father. Think what's going to happen to him. Blah, 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 blah. He's going to go down to hell, right? You got to be sensitive here, right? Yosef uses most of the details of what Yehuda said, very much parallel, just flipping over the maskana. And of course, the basis for flipping the maskana is one very important piece of information Yehuda did not know, which is, I am Yosef. The Torah presents this very much as parallel from the very beginning. What do I mean from the very beginning? What word is the first word the Torah uses to present it as parallel? Ani? How is any parallel? Oh, okay, yes. What is the first word of the parsha?
Where you go.
What is the first words that Yosef uses when he draws his brother to come listen to him?
Shunam.
Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Yosef el Achav Gishuna Elai. Vayigashu. This is Vayigash take 2. Very, very important. If you're looking at page 52 in your handy dandy booklet. What's it? Well, we're going to talk about that. That's when he reveals himself. This is the speech. Pasuk Dalet, when he starts speaking, giving his whole where we need to go from here speech. Pasuk was definitely the transition. If you look at page 52, on the right side and the left side, the underlines will be very helpful in you appreciating just how parallel Yosef's speech is to Yehuda's. He basically takes the framework of Yehuda's speech and just shifts it. Now, the shift is based on Yosef's understanding. Not just that he is Yosef, which he kind of knows because he is Yosef, but what all of it means. Let's take a look. Ying ying, perek mem hei, pasuk gimel. Vayomer Yosef el achav, ani Yosef, I am the dude. Velo yachalu echav la'anot oto, ki nevalu mipanav. They couldn't answer him. It doesn't say they didn't answer him. It says they couldn't answer him. Why couldn't they answer him?
Right.
Now, I think it's more than shock and dumbfoundedness. I want to explain what I mean. It's more than just, oh my God. It's guilt. And I think it's more than that. I think it's all that combined. Yehuda is saying, how could you do this to that poor old man, that first father? How could you be so insensitive? And basically, Yosef's point is, Yehuda, you're so insensitive, and how could you be this way? And suddenly, the guy you think is the one who's causing all the trouble and insensitive? He's the victim of your trouble and insensitivity. Right? You know? What do you say? Yeah. Okay, I got it. You should know that Chazal say here in the Medrash, Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom tochacha. Woe is to us from the day of judgment. The day of tochacha is different than judgment. It's where we're taught something. Because the day of din is more than just din, it's tochacha, when all the excuses we've made in our lives for why we couldn't be something and couldn't do something and didn't do something, so Hashem like shows us all like it's all baloney, right? So for example, I couldn't stay up learning late that night. I get tired, it's very hard. God says, remember that time you were up late watching 14 movies or socializing or whatever? Like, you can't stay up late all night. Yep. Mm-hmm. Meaning, when we're shown the video, this is where Chazal say, could think what it meant for them to have it right in their face. V'lo yachlu echav la'anot oto. Fayomer Yosef el achav pasuk dalet. After the revelation, he brings them close. And he starts with something he's going to spend his whole speech disproving or reframing. Ani Yosef achichem asher mechartem oti mitzrayim. I am Yosef, your brother that you sold here. V'yata now. Al te'atzvu v'al yichar be'enichem ki mechartem oti hina. Don't be sad or angry about what you did. These are two kinds of responses people do when they regret having done something. You could be sad, which is one kind of thing. You take it upon yourself. You kick yourself. The others, you get angry. You blame someone else. You, right? There are two different kinds of approaches. He says, don't do these things. Why not? Should be sad and angry, no? End the pasuk. Okay, you guys ready? You buckled up? Let me see your seatbelt. You know those nudnikit stewardesses on the plane? Seatbelt. I know, I saw the sign. I heard the announcement. If I want to put it on, I'll put it on. When is the democracy going to get to that point? Which is, if I want to fly without a seatbelt and bang my head against the thing, it's my problem. I'm saying, like, democracy hasn't gotten to planes yet. Get Mamela, turn off your device because you'll cause the plane to explode for other people. Luya Tsuya. And it's not true, but it's not. I mean, it's just a way for them to be a nundik. I think it's the means, not the end. You know what I'm saying? But the seatbelt, that isn't going to cause the plane to go down. That's just me going to get my head banged. So that should be democracy, you know? Just push button. I voluntarily chose to ignore putting on my seatbelt. I chose to not listen to watch how to put my seatbelt or how to use my cushion. Like, that should be up to me, no? Seatbelt. What, is it under the blanket? Get away! Don't bother me! My body's not... You should know. I probably would put my seatbelt on if the stewardess wouldn't ask me 10 times. It's like the Hachis. I'm from New York. You're going to keep bothering me. I'm not putting it on. It's mine, right? Okay, anyway. How do we get onto this? Ah, buckle up. V'yata al tiyatzpul al yichar b'enechem ki mechartem otiheno ki lemichyash lachani elokim lefnechem. Because God sent me ahead of you as a mechia. What's a mechia?
Life sustaining.
Something to sustain life for you. Meaning, I'm not. You sold me here, but God has something else in mind. Now, how does Yosef know that? Maybe it's just like, this was all a cool game. Let's go back to Israel. How does Yosef know that? What? Well, what does Yosef say? How about that? Pasuk Vav. Ki zesh natayim arav v'kerva. It's been a famine for 2 years. V'od chamesh shanim esherin chavish v'katzir. And there are 5 more years coming. If there weren't 5 more years coming, you'd say, okay, this was the deal. It was meant for you to see me. And now we go home and live happily ever after. But there's another 5 years, right? So you still need me. In fact, Chazal say something cool, that when Yaakov and his family arrived in Egypt, the famine ended. What's the basis of that? The understanding that the purpose of the famine was to get them to come down to Egypt. That's the pasuk here. And it gets even better in pasuk Zion. You ready? Vayishlacheni Elokim lefnechem. God sent me before you. Lasum lechem sheirit paaretz. Ulahachiot lechem lefleita gdola. Very important pasuk here at the end of pasuk Zion. It's not just to keep you alive. It's to what? Not just to keep you alive. Fleita gedola. What's fleita gedola?
A great
plate. Meaning it's refuge. To become great. Meaning Hashem had told Avram and the Jews were waiting for this moment, the family, that they would grow into a great nation. This is the moment, as we'll soon see. Now pasuk chet is where it really gets extreme. You guys ready? Viata lo atem shalachtem otihena ke elokim. You didn't send me here. No, but I thought they did send them here. What does that mean? What's Pshat? What?
Probably meaning putting him in that position.
Yeah. How you see from the end of the pasuk? The best proof that I'm not here because of you is because I wouldn't have been here. If it was what you did, I'd be, you know, in a pit somewhere. How am I here? It's not about you. It's not about you. You did something wrong, but don't be angry and sad about it, because it's not like Layim Yan. We got to think what we need to do here. And what we need to do here now, based upon that, is go get Pops and everybody and come down here. Because we got big stuff to do here, right? Wow. That's Yosef. The ability not just to make lemons into lemonade, but to see lemons as God's shlichus. Oh, we got lemons. Well, it's because God has sent me to be a lemon trader. And it's going to be like this whole thing. And now again, he has his dreams. And just like he got the power, it's what he sees and understands. And that's why Yosef is Yosef. We're just dudes. Right? Just to see the end of this story, comes back, Yaakov's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Now, Yaakov's plan is to do what in Pasuk Chaf Chet, the end of Perek Mem Hei?
Go see him.
I'm going to go see him. Is he saying I'm moving to Egypt?
No.
Well, go see him. Go see my son, right? We're going to go visit.
He said before I die, so maybe he's suggesting okay. He's going to die in Egypt.
Maybe yes, maybe no, but he doesn't plan to move. Yeah. There's no talk of moving, right? God appears to Yaakov on the way, right? He brings Korbanos. And he says to him, Pasuk Gimel, I am the God of your father. Don't be afraid of going to Mitzrayim. Very important end of Pasuk Gimel. Ki legoy gadol asimcha sham. Because?
Yes, it's right.
I'm making you into it. This is where God confirms Yosef's intuition. One important word being? Yes, but what word connecting to Yosef?
Gadol.
Right? You're right, sham is definitely important. So I'm just saying, connecting to Yosef, that's what I was thinking about, but not what I said. So you answered what I said, but not what I was thinking, because you probably heard what I said, not what I was thinking. Ki legoy gadol, asim chasham. God is on board. Cool. Any questions so far? I think this answers another very important question as we move forward through the parsha. And that is the end of the parsha. They come down, meet Paro, one of my favorite Jewish moments in the parsha. You know what I mean, Jewish?
Complain.
Yeah, yeah. Yaakov's answer to Paro. Paro says, oh, how old are you? I've lived 130 few bad years. This is a makor for Jewish grandfathers. That actually is a very important backdrop for Parshas Vayechi, which we'll see. But what I want to talk about now is Shvi. What happens in Shvi? Lengthy description of what? Hamana, 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 hamana.
The way they provided food for them.
The economic plan, right? Mm. Now, the truth is it goes way back to the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, which would seem a lot earlier if we hadn't just spoken about Parshas Miketz. Excuse me. It goes back to the beginning of Miketz. It talks about what he did during the famine, during the years of plenty, excuse me, how they collected all the food. And it talks about the different stages of the famine. First, the people didn't have any food left and they bought food, and then they had to sell their cattle and they had to sell themselves, they had to sell their land, right? And Yosef had them all move around, right? Everyone remembers more or less going on? Why are we told all that? I mean, this is interesting. I mean, you know, why is this in the Torah? Everyone understands my question? So one could say, well, Jews are supposed to be good economists, which is true. I think like some kind of crazy percentage of those who've won the Nobel Prize in economics have been Jews. 40%, 60%, something like some crazy number like that. Jews and money, economic planning, they seem to go together. And I think I don't think that's why the Torah tells us this parak, right?
You found everything Yosef said.
Well, we've been reading the story. We know that it's been happening, right? Now, I don't know if this is why the Torah tells us the story, but it definitely helps us understand better where the anti-Semitism of the next parsha comes from, right?
Because you're in control of it.
Yosef is the one who caused everyone to lose all their possessions and everything, right? So this thing of, the Jews took all our money. Right? You know, it's like, now again, he took it for Paro, but the guy never medayik exactly why we blame the Jews for things. There's a very famous story about Albert Einstein, that when his theory of relativity was being studied at the Sorbonne, he said, if it turns out to be right, the French will say I'm a Frenchman and the Germans will say I'm a German. If it turns out to be wrong, the French will say I was German and the German will say I was a Jew. And the point was that the Jews don't really get the credit. There's a great diuk about this. If you look back in the beginning of Parshas Miketz, it says, the years of plenty came, and then the years of famine came as Yosef had spoken. So people ask, why does it only say Yosef spoken about the famine? And the answer is, the Jews get blamed for the famine. The years of plenty, the years of plenty. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, you know. But anyway, getting back to the point here, I don't think that's why the Torah tells us the story. I think you can see why the Torah tells us the story by seeing how it's framed. What do I mean? Let's take a look at the end of Shishi. Right, we saw already Pasuk Chet, Paro says to Yaakov, how old are you? Yaakov says, I'm 130 few bad years. I'll tell you a good family personal story. Pasuk Chet. Paro says to Yaakov, Kama yemei shnei chayecha. Translate that.
How many are the days of the year?
How many are the years of your life, right? So I had two cousins who went from Israel, who went to visit my grandfather in America. The two of them, you know, one is 18, 16. They come and my grandfather spoke biblical Hebrew. So he said to them, Kama yemei shnei chayecha. They look at each other, two of us together, separately. 36, I don't know. In any case, Pasuk Yud, Vayevarech Yaakov es Paro, Vayetzin lifnei Paro. Finished. Shvi begins by talking to us about how Yosef helps his father and brothers settle in. Vayoshev Yosef et aviv v'etechav, Vayitein lehem achuza be'eretz Mitzrayim b'meitav haretz be'eretz Ramses kasher tziva Paro. Vayichalkel Yosef et aviv v'et echav v'et kol beit aviv lechem lefi ataf. Right? Psukim Yud, Aleph and Yud Bet are describing how Yosef is helping his family, right? All of a sudden we shift using the word lechem in the end of Pasuk Yud Bet from Yosef settling and supporting his family to what's been going on in Egypt. In fact, we're going all the way back to the beginning, right? I would start it from the beginning. We read this whole story about the brother, about the, you know, what's going on in Egypt. Let's look at Pasuk Chaf Vav. Vayasem oto Yosef l'chok ari yom hazeh al adamat Mitzrayim nafaru l'chomesh rak admat konim levadam lo hayta l'paro. Conclusion of that. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goshen v'yachsuba v'yifru v'yirbu mod. The story of Yosef's economic dealings with Egypt is told within the framework of Yosef's help to his family. And the key word that appears before and afterwards is the word Vayoshev or Vayeshev. Look at the first Pasuk of Shvi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and the last one, Chav Zayin. Vayoshev Yosef et aviv ve'et echav v'yitein lem achuza be'eretz Mitzrayim. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goshen v'ye'ochzu ba. What's the connection between the story of Yosef's economic dealings with Egypt and the framework of the Hoshava that Yosef does for his father and brothers? What's the connection? I think the answer is very simple. Yosef has a mission. He believes that God has put him in this situation to do what? What? More than that.
Fulfill the prophecy.
Help them become a great nation. Now, what do you need for a family to become a great nation? Space, right? Land, space, and resources. How are we going to get all that? The situation of the years of famine are going to be a situation where everything is going to be centralized in Paro and then re-given out. That's a great way to be able to give things to particular people, right? How is Yosef able to settle his family? Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yitein lem achuza be'eretz Mitzrayim b'meitav ha'aretz. How is he able to give them Fifth Avenue? I don't understand. What about the residents on Fifth Avenue? Right? Now, what Yosef does once everybody sells themselves in their land, what does he do with everybody?
Moves them
around. Why does he move them around?
Because if everyone's moved around, then no one can complain.
Right, meaning, forget his family for a second. If you want people to feel that the land they're on is not theirs, you move them. Again, the notion you belong to power, yeah, I belong to power. Shkosh, very nice. I'm still living here, you know. You're all moving. Now, while everybody's moving, the Jews can be put by Meitav Haaretz, right? Now you might say, this is terrible. Anti-Semitism is right. You could say that when you read about destroying Amalek also, right? What's the difference between the Jews killing Amalek and the Germans killing the Jews? What's the difference? One is God. Yosef is fulfilling what God wants from him, right? It's not just, I like my family, I'm going to take all the money and give it to them. Again, it could be people don't accept, you don't accept God. So of course, okay, Peseder, you know. Those are the problems we have with a lot of it. Even within the Orthodox community, people don't accept God. You know what I'm saying? They're Orthodox, but they don't accept God. Or internalize what accepting God means. This is a very powerful story about understanding what your role is and, you know, do everything you're doing in the bigger picture about how you're making that work. Cool stuff, right? Gabi Katz, cool stuff. Now we did the best we could to cover a little Miketz, cover a little Vayigash. Now we're ready to learn Parshas Vayechi next week. Because Parshas Vayechi is good stuff. Are we ready for Vayehi? Tune in next week when Appel says, don't buckle up. Poor Appel's going to be on a flight home. The steward's going to say buckle up. And go, no, I was taught in yeshiva, you don't buckle your seatbelt. Everyone should buckle their seatbelt. The mitzvah daraisa. V'nishmartem ha'od l'nafshaseichem. Right? To buckle your seatbelt.
Our lives is worth protecting. Even if democratic societies don't. See, our life is worth anything. We're democratic, but we do. We're not democratic. We are theocratic.